Gospel of John. Now, often we question people's motivations for different things that they do. For example, yesterday, a number of people, including a couple of our relatives, were at Queen's Park questioning the motivation of one Ford gentleman. And we ourselves might wonder about the motivation of our friends, or perhaps sometimes we might even question our own motivation. Now, as we look at the people that are present in this scene, we may look at their motivation as well. So Jesus joined his disciples and friends in Bethany near Jerusalem. And it was a great risk to Jesus that he came there because he had already been outlawed by the Jewish leaders. So to come into Bethany, which was a site for people who were coming for Passover in Jerusalem, they couldn't fit them all in Jerusalem. So Bethany was one of the places designed for them to be able to take part. Now, women's part in those days was to cook and to serve. May I have a show of hands who think that that has changed a lot? Oh, all gentlemen. The rest of us remember that we my husband is cooking lunch. Now, I brought a picture just to help us to understand this particular story. We don't eat like that. So as you can see, the disciples and Jesus and Lazarus, who's over here on the right, are lying down on couches. They go on four sides of the table and they rest on their left elbow and eat with their right hand. So when I was young, yesterday, I used to think that when Mary put the ointment on Jesus' feet, they were all sitting at a dining room table in nice wooden chairs, and Mary had to crawl underneath the table to put the ointment on Jesus' feet. But that's not how it was, because as you can see, Jesus' feet are right at the end of the couch, and Mary's right below there with her hair all down. Now, we were joking in coffee hour that if they needed my hair to dry his feet, there would be not much chance. So on the side, the far side, there's disciples on three sides, and then the food goes in front of them. Lazarus reclined at the table with Jesus, and the honored guest sits on the right of the host. So Jesus is to the right of Lazarus. Now Lazarus, of course, you know, is the one that Jesus raised from the dead. And I think they were throwing a pretty big party because Lazarus, who was dead, is alive. And one of the reasons that the leaders were upset, angry, livid, and put the warrant out for Jesus is that Jesus had been doing things, you know, raising people from the dead, teaching with authority, the scripture tells us, and I mean, you'd like to hear someone speak with authority, but obviously he wasn't speaking the word the Jewish leaders wanted to hear. So Lazarus invited the guests there and was basically thanking Jesus for his help. Martha, who I've identified as the lady up top with a scarf around her head. Do you see her? Yeah. She was very practical. She'd been out in the kitchen, working away, getting the meal ready to be prepared, and then taking it in and placing it on the table. And she, her motivation was love in action. Mary, now, I'm very sorry because I thought perhaps you were going to have some spikenard ointment. But I understand it's very expensive. And Mary bought a pound and placed it in an alabaster flask that was probably at least three times the size of that, went into the room, smashed this head, and broke off the top where the stopper was. Otherwise, the whole room would have been full of perfume sooner. So when she broke it off and began putting the oil on Jesus' feet, the smell or aroma filled the room. So Mary also took a chance. She came out of the kitchen. She got the treasure that she had. And she came in, took off her head covering. You can see her at Jesus' feet. Poured the oil and then dried it with her hair. Now, these were the actions of an immoral woman. And it's not different in the Middle East today, I was reminded by our past warden. The same thing can be happening. People without a head covering, women without a head covering, are doing something that shouldn't happen. And also, washing feet was the job of slaves. So the host wouldn't do it. The women serving shouldn't do it. The slaves should do it. Now I'm going to read you a little story that talks about extravagant giving. A young American couple, Della and Jim, were very poor but very much in love. Each had one unique possession. Della's hair was her glory. When she let it down, it almost served as a robe. Jim had a gold watch, which had come to him from his father and was his pride. It was the day before Christmas, and Della had exactly $1.87 to buy Jim a present. One chocolate bar. Anyway, she went off and sold her hair for $20. With the proceeds, she bought a platinum fob for the precious watch. When Jim came home at night and saw Della's shorn head, he stopped as if stupefied. It was not that he did not like it or love her any less, for she was lovelier than ever. Slowly, he handed her his gift. It was an expensive tortoiseshell comb set with jeweled edges. He had sold his gold watch to buy them. Each had given the other all they had to give. Real love cannot think of any other way. That is a short story by O. Henry. And now we come to Judas himself. Whether I'm right or not, I have no way of knowing. All I know is that this particular artist, of all the pictures and paintings that I looked at, showed the most authentic sight. And in my feeling, Jacob has the yellowish robe on and the really kind of annoyed face. I could be wrong. Nobody left a photo album. Sorry? Judas? Judas, yes. Judas, Jesus is in the white, Judas is in the yellow. So Judas was upset. He thought it was an extravagant waste of money to buy this bottle of spikenard, which cost, according to our understanding, the amount of a year's salary. So the commentary that I looked at said $55,500. That's pretty expensive. And Jesus had put Judas in charge of the money. But from what we can tell in this text, Judas was a bitter man and a betrayer. Was he already planning his actions for the betrayal of Jesus? It's possible. We know that he accepted 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus, which is 10 times less than the cost of what Mary anointed his feet with. We are told that the Jewish leaders plotted to kill not just Jesus, but also Lazarus, because people were believing based upon the things that they saw. Well, what about Jesus? Jesus already knows his future, and he's preparing for it. He recognizes the motivations of Mary, and he loves Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. We don't really know what his feeling is about Judas, but we think that he had some understanding of what was going on, and, you know, in one point in scripture, tells Judas to go and do what he must do. Later this week, we'll talk about that. So Jesus is well aware of Judas's abilities and his motivation. Finally, I would like to read a poem by a lady named Andrea Skevington, and it's describing our scene. Please look at the picture while I'm reading. Now in Bethany, the house is ablaze with light. Shutters and doors are thrown open, all wide open with joy unspeakable. Music, laughter, dancing, wild thanksgiving for one who was dead is alive again. And all night, while crowds pour in from Jerusalem, the feast goes on and on. As Mary enters now, cheeks glistening with joy, past her brother at your side, back from the grave. She kneels at your feet, pours out extravagant nard, scandalously anoints your warm living feet, unbinds her hair, and lets it flow like water over them, wiping them in such reckless and tender thanksgiving. Fragrance fills the room, the house, the night, as more people pour in from Jerusalem to you who comes to us in our weeping, who shares our bread with us and brings us to such joy as this. Thank you for the invitation to come. And thank you for all of you that encourage me by smiling. It's very nice. Shall we just close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us in this day, for your presence with the disciples and the family in Bethany. And we pray that as we think about these events in this next week, we will recognize our own motivation and see our own love for you. Amen.